know all you came here to say. If you afraid, then come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, so let me see you get loose. It's going down for real. It's going down for real. It's going down for real. Yo,
girl, I could buy
shit.
Shake for a shake. I'm throwing these Emirates in a.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hello there. Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here for the next 2 hours on ESPN 850 WKNR. We'll take a look at the Browns quarterback position headed into the offseason. We'll tell you about who you can look at that can maybe help this team in the draft and, of course, in free agency. We'll take a look at the current roster. So we're going to start to do that as we get ready for the NFL Combine. I'm taking a look at all the different position groups on this Browns team. We're also going to obviously talk about some of the stuff that's going on around the NFL, some of the trends in the NFL. There's a good article at Monday Morning Quarterback, so we'll do that. But mainly, just want to talk to you guys, 216-578-0850, and of course, talk to my main man, Mr. Matt Wilhelm. Matt, how are you, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you? How was the trip?
The trip was phenomenal. 75 degrees every day, not a cloud in the sky. We played great golf, although we didn't always play great. The golf itself was great. Our play, not always great. But we had a great time down there in Tampa. And for the people asking what's going on with the old opening, apparently there are some technical difficulties down there at the ESPN Cleveland studio. So don't worry. It is not coming back.
Don't worry.
But the trip was great, man. It's always great when you can get away with the fellas.
Of course.
Have a few days. Yeah.
What was the, and just, you know, take us on the trip. What was the high, how about this? The high point and the low point of the trip.
The high point and the low point of the trip.
You can be, how about one for on, the, a couple for on the course and a couple for off the course? Because it, I mean, there's life beyond golf on a trip.
Most certainly. I don't know how much of it is radio consumable, but. Oh, I would say that the high point of the trip on the course was probably the kid and I were playing Sims and Rusty, and we were in a bad way, and we fought our way back. The course was beating everybody up. Everybody was playing terrible. And on 17, when we were one down, I dropped like a 40-footer for birdie that won us that hole to get us even, and then we won 18 and stole the match. So that would probably be the high point.
Okay.
The low point would probably be.
Did any clubs break or anything?
No, the kid lost his putter, though.
He did.
The kid lost his putter, yeah. We don't know what happened to it. The coolest thing, probably the other high point, would be. So we played at this place called World Woods, which is about an hour north of Tampa, and it's got the number 4 ranked public course in Tampa there. And the course was fine. It didn't blow my mind, but it was solid. But it had this putting green that was basically like carved out of a mountain. So you couldn't physically, you couldn't physically putt the ball from the bottom of the green to the top of it. Like you couldn't swing hard enough. I mean, we were taking basically full swings with putters. And it made in the middle of it was a big rock formation. So it basically made like almost a big loop around. And we started gambling on all these crazy putting games. Like you'd start at a hole at the very bottom and have to putt your way around the whole loop and get back and finish at that hole. So it was like par sixes and par sevens, and it was good. It was good. It was fun. That was probably one of the high points. We had great meals, great nightlife. It was just good, man. You know how it is. Like, it's good when you can just get away and just do what you want to do for a few days and just have fun. It was
absolutely
great.
And what about off the course? Any great dinners? Any good stories?
Yeah, we actually had very, very good dinners. We ate at Ava, which is, if anybody goes to Tampa, it's right on South Howard Street, which is a good kind of like right where everything goes down. And that's where all the bars are. And it was a pizza place, and Italian food was off the charts. The atmosphere was really cool. That place was good. We went to Charlie's, which was a big steakhouse there. Burns is the most famous one, but Burns is like a 6-hour endeavor, and we didn't want to necessarily do that. So we went to Charlie's another night, and then we went to Ocean Prime the last night, which was seafood, which was bananas.
And now I haven't, of course, 2000 and 2001, we played in the Outback Bowl in two consecutive years, both against South Carolina, lost them both. And the one thing, and this was, again, 15, 16 years ago, Ybor City was like the place to go.
Okay, so it's...
What is Ybor City now?
It is
not. Is it
not
the equivalent
anymore
to the flats?
So the Ybor City now is like, Now, we were there when it was Gasparilla, so it kind of got going in Ybor City a little bit the last night that we were there.
Okay.
But Ybor City is not it's like the Flats was when before the Flats made a comeback.
Okay, so it's dead.
Yeah, it's pretty much dead. It's like considered to be a little shady. It's not like the best. So it's funny. So we rent this house on Airbnb, and all you can see are the pictures from the house and the pictures of the inside of the house. And a couple of the reviews were like, the house is great. You know, the neighborhood maybe not the best, but like the house is great. Totally great location. I mean, we were a $9 Uber to every restaurant, every bar, like anything we wanted to go to, we were a $9 Uber.
Sure.
So, and by the way, the kid on this trip downloaded his first podcast. He attempted to get the Uber app, but for some reason wasn't able to complete it. But he's getting there. We're getting there technologically with the kid. So we get there, and this is absolutely like, this is not the great area. We told Brandon Myers, we played golf. Andy Sims, agent of the Stars, represents Brandon Myers, the tight end for Tampa. And so we told him where we were staying. He's like, he gave us this look, and we're like, oh, man. So when we drive in there, it is not in a good area at all. Like, not in a good area. But it was right on the water, and the house on the inside was really, really nice. But the kid was not happy because there was – I guess they had left some sugar open in the pantry, and so they were like – I guess they're called sugar ants. They're like these teeny little bugs.
Yeah.
And they were just in the pantry, but the kid opened that and saw that, and he was not happy. And then he lays his clothes out right on the kitchen counter the first night, and when we came home, they were on there. So he, like, texts the lady whose property it was and is like, there are bed bugs here. Like, I'm not – this is outrageous. So this lady comes over the next morning and is like – and she's like, I'm concerned about Jonathan if he's going to write a review. You know, that there's no bed bugs here. I take this very seriously. Like, he's concerning.
Who's Jonathan?
That's what she called the kid. It was Jonathan. So it was funny. So that was probably the low point. Was the first bugs, but all in all, we just had it was awesome. And I think we picked the right weekend to get out of here too, weather wise, and we ended up with 75 and literally didn't see a cloud the whole time we were there.
That's awesome. No rain, no nothing.
What?
No rain or anything else?
No rain, nothing going on. I'm told I'm way off on Ybor. The place has made a renaissance. That's what Sam Dean just tweets me. So I don't know. Maybe it has made a renaissance like the Flats. It was Gasparilla down there where everybody dressed up like pirates, so it was hard to kind of drive around and see anything. But as a man who enjoys pirates, it looked like a pretty good time.
Oh, nice. Very good. Well, welcome back to the cold.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Did I miss anything great here in Cleveland?
No, you did not. Nope. Just sub-zero temperatures with wind chill on Saturday. But that was about it.
That was about it. All right. All right. When you look at this team, when you look at this, when you look at, like, this weather that was here, and when we were leaving, it was, like, 4 in the morning, there was, like, a foot of snow on the ground. And it's just crazy, and it still boggles my mind, and I know it shouldn't boggle my mind at 37 years of age, but that you can get on a plane and, like, in 2 hours literally be in a completely different world.
Yes. This is true.
Flying back was difficult. You're like looking down and all you see is white and it looks like the frozen tundra and you just left Florida where it's like green and lakes and sun and the beach. It's like, oh, what am I doing?
Yeah. When's that move coming?
Now, you know what? I'm all in all, the truth be told, I'm not much of a Florida man.
You're Arizona. You're the dry heat guy.
Yeah, I'm an Arizona man. I just find for example, like in Arizona, I find the topography very pretty. I think the red rocks are pretty. The mountains are pretty. And where there is green, it's really green. This time of year in Florida, especially, I think it's this time of year. But, like, the courses were a lot brown. You know, you have the dormant Bermuda mixed in, and it just didn't seem that – it was a little bit – the golf was disappointing. Don't go to Tampa just for a golf vacation. It's a great place to go with a group of guys. There's a lot of fun to be had in Tampa, but I don't think it's necessarily, like, a great – I wouldn't call it a great golf destination.
That was actually my question. I thought about it earlier today, just knowing you were coming back. I've never known Tampa as a golf mecca, you know, where there's really no – are there even any, like, PGA or LPGA, you know, events held in the Tampa area?
Yeah, there's one at Innisbrook.
Okay.
But you have to, like, to play there, you have to stay there.
Gotcha, and they're going to hit you over the head for that.
Yeah, and it's a total fortune. So we ended up not doing that. What we should have done is gone. There's another place about an hour away called Stream Song that was just built by the people who built Bandon Dunes, and they're going to try to turn it into, like, the Bandon Dunes of Florida.
Ooh.
And it's, like, an hour. It's kind of – I think it's in between, like, Tampa and Orlando. And they have two courses there. They're building three more. The two courses that are there right now are ranked number one and number three in the state, and they're brand new. And they're supposed to be just completely ridiculous. So I guess if we wanted to just go, like, from a golf standpoint, that's where you'd have to go, a place called Stream Song.
Gotcha. Nice. Awesome.
But you know what? All in all, man, it was a good time. And It is rough to be back and working on a holiday right after that vacation, but it was good to get it. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Very good.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Have you guys what day did the Peyton Manning stuff come out? Was that Friday?
I don't even know. I looked into it this morning.
Okay,
so
you
didn't talk about it?
No, it came out over the weekend.
It came out over the weekend? Okay.
Yeah.
I lost track of what days were what when I was on vacation.
As well, you should.
Yeah, it didn't matter at all. And it was great. So the kid was calling me one morning. We go, and I wanted to get a smoothie. And the kid was like, the prima donna needs a smoothie because I love Smoothie King. And there's no Smoothie King up here. I used to get it. I went to school in Atlanta, so there was Smoothie King down there. And they had a smoothie called Grape Expectations Part 2, which was my favorite. And it was like a grape smoothie. It was amazing. So whenever I'm down in Florida, I always like to go try to find a Smoothie King. So I go. They've discontinued Grape Expectations Part 2 in 2016. All grape smoothies are gone, which was a big kick in the balls. But we go, and at first I was the only one that wanted one. Well, of course, we go in there, everybody gets smoothie, and then all everybody talked about is how good the smoothies were, so we went back and got a smoothie another day. Smoothies are good. I don't know, I think I like them better on vacation. Like now they put up the calories per smoothie, they shouldn't do that.
No, because it's a deception. You think you're doing something good for your body, and you're actually not.
No, not at all. Yeah, they couldn't taste that good if it was good for you.
No.
It's like for a 32-ounce smoothie is like anywhere between 550 and 750 calories.
How much?
Between 550 and 750.
Oh, I believe that.
Yeah, easy.
And then they try to get you with you want to add a protein boost?
Oh, you know I do. You know I do. Let's go. Let's go. More smoothies. Do you ever have smoothies? I used to go to Robex every now and then, but then I did
for a while until, you know,
they started telling me
the Magic Bullet and the Ninja were created, and you can kind of do the same thing at your own house for a quarter of the cost.
That's what we do.
And have smoothies for a week.
I do do. That's my breakfast every morning. A little protein powder, fresh fruit.
But you make it.
Bananas.
You make
it.
Yeah. Yeah, making your own smoothie is totally different. I think when you go to, like, one of those smoothie chains, like, when you make your own smoothie, you can make a very healthy smoothie. Like, I do my own, like, protein shakes and stuff. But to get that kind of, like, the pineapple, or I think I got pineapple surf, I want to call it. Oh, fantastic. It was a treat. That's how I looked at it.
You needed alcohol in it. You're on vacation, it's got to have alcohol in it.
Oh, man, we were pounding the John Daly's. It's just a fine sunny drink.
Nothing wrong with that.
Now, I like a good John Daly. I think it's strong. I would say it's quite strong.
So no one hit the bottle too hard? You don't have any good stories about someone being overserved or anything?
Oh, we were there for sure. There was, of course, a ton of tomfoolery went on. It was great. All I'll say is, and we'll let him talk about it on Friday if he wants, but the MVP of the trip was by far the kid. No surprise, I would think, to anybody.
No, and there's no in particular story to just get us – get the anticipation rolling for Friday.
Well, one of my here's one that's good. We were left one bar to go to another bar, and we needed to get an Uber was like 6 minutes away, and the kid was like ready to go. So we go out, and there's a cab there, and he gets in the cab, and the guy goes, "Are you Mike?" Because I guess the cab was called for Mike, and he goes, "Well, sometimes my friends call me Mike," and then ends up going, and like as we're pulling out, he like yells out to the Mike, who I guess was out there to get his cab, like, "You'll have to get the next one, Mike," and we took off in that cab.
That's awesome. I've stolen a friend's Uber before, you know, because they track the phone that the Uber is called from.
Yeah.
And we had multiple Ubers coming to a restaurant to take us, you know, the party elsewhere, and they're like, "Oh, you know, are you Kevin?" I'm like, "Hell yeah, I'm Kevin. Let's go."
You're darn right I am.
I'm darn right Kevin. But I mean, then honestly, it's like our Uber, because we were paying the bill. Our Uber came, didn't want to wait, and left, and actually gave me one star. Okay. So then another Uber, you know, pulled up, and I had known that, you know, a few other people were calling Ubers. I'm like, okay, mine just left. I'm going to jump in this one. So not only was I Kevin for the ride home, and he's like, "Kevin, how's your service? You going to give me, you know," they want to create a conversation when you're in an Uber. And then it's like, so Kevin ended up, the actual Kevin ended up paying, you know, through his account on Uber for my Uber
ride.
But
wouldn't that take you to his house?
No. You can you know, add whatever location you want.
Yeah, but I mean, on Uber, if they're picking you up, you know, they already know what your destination is. So you didn't end up
– okay. You can change on the fly.
I mean, well played.
Yes. I mean, I end up giving the money back to Kevin anyway, but I just thought it was a running joke that, you know, he was looking outside for an Uber. I had already missed mine. I stole his. He paid for mine and then paid for his own.
That's brilliant.
Yes.
That's well done by you.
Thank you.
You know, Uber is phenomenal, but so here's something that's interesting that happens in Tampa. On the weekends, there are drivers who come up from Orlando just to Uber around Tampa because there's no real nightlife in Orlando, and they make so much more money in Tampa that it's worth it to them to drive.
Oh, sure.
And do it. Now, I love the, you know, the passion and the zest, but I do think, and the kid had a big theory about this, but it became very apparent because we got an Uber driver from Orlando to take us dinner one night. He got us lost. A 15-minute drive should have been like a 45-minute drive. Or what should have been a 15-minute drive was 45 minutes. He got us lost. We ended up on detours. We ended up in traffic. It was like a total debacle. He just didn't go the way that we had gone every time because his GPS told him something different than normal. Whereas with a cab driver, they know Tampa, so they're going to know how to get around. I don't think Uber should allow people. You should only be able to drive in your city.
True.
That would make the most sense.
Yeah, especially if you're going to charge me like a surge price. Like this guy better.
If I have to pull out my phone to help you go somewhere, directions.
We did. So then
that's going to be a problem.
Sims gave the guy one star. So we get in. So and the guy was telling us, he's like, yeah, me and my buddy come up and we do this on Saturday nights. And this guy was terrible. So Sims gave him one star. And like an Uber contacts you, like, why was it one star? And Sims was like pretty pissed because it took us forever. We were late for our reservation. We were just sitting there. It was absurd. We had to like guide this guy there. So we get in the final Uber of the night to go home at like 3:30 in the morning. And this guy goes, somebody said to the cab driver, he's like, oh yeah, I'm up from Orlando. And we said our first driver was from Orlando. And I would yell out from the back. I'm like, yeah, that guy sucked. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, that's my friend. I'm from Orlando, too. I'm
like, oh, ooh. No. Now you're going to Orlando tonight.
You know what? When I'm in another city visiting and I'm either using Uber or I'm taking a cab, the one thing that I always do, thank God for smartphones, is I always Google my location because you always hear the horror stories about, you know, cab drivers getting lost or you know, driving people around, taking the slower route, like in Vegas. You know, you get a good cabbie, they're working those, like, back alley, you know, behind the casino, off the strip.
That's why.
spots. And they're like, you know, because they want to obviously, the more people they get in and out of their car, the more money they make, you know? They don't want you in their car forever. So, like, I'm always on my phone, and I understand the fastest route and an alternate route. And I'm just kind of like, because if a cabbie takes a wrong turn and is trying to screw me over for my money when I'm in a cab or an Uber, I'm letting him know right now.
Well, and the best part of that is, if I'm getting in a cab, Here's a couple bucks right off the bat. Get me to where I need to get to and get there now. You'd be amazed if you tip the cabbie beforehand. I had a female here in town. She drives a van, and she is awesome. Red lights, if there's no traffic, you're going right through. You're blowing right through. She will get you wherever you need to go in 15 minutes or less.
Really?
Couple bucks and automatic.
Good kid. That's a strong trait.
Heck yeah, man. That's her number is in my cell phone.
Strong. Sam Dean, by the way, turning us off because I'm so far off base with my Tampa area comments. It's tough to stomach. I guess this guy's a big Tampa. I feel like I've been pretty positive on Tampa, have I not?
How bad can it really be in the middle of February?
Good food, good nightlife, perfect weather. The golf was eh. But I had a blast. I enjoyed it.
What for? You didn't pay top dollar for golf, did you?
No, in fact, the place that we went that was number four in the state, which was good. I mean, it was good. It was by far the fairest course that we played. TPC at Tampa, solid, but it's about $1.50 a round. I don't know that it's worth it, but it is a very good golf course, and it's a top notch facility. Like, you know what you're going to get with a TPC course. This other place, we ended up going, and we thought it was going to be like $160, and the guy was like, "Yeah, you guys got the internet rate for $55, right?" We're like,
Yes,
we did. You are correct. And so that ended up being a great deal. And then with that putting, we ended up spending probably an hour and a half afterwards on this monster putting green. And that might have been the most fun we had golfing the whole trip.
So who was – it was the kid the worst of the three? What's Sims like as a golfer?
Rusty and Sims are tens, and the kid was down. The kid handicap was real low, but he had a rough stretch on the links for the kid. It was a rough stretch.
That sucks.
This guy's doubting the fact that Orlando residents come to Tampa to Uber because there's nothing to do. Have you not heard of the mouse? Dude, what do you want from me? Two guys drove up to drive Ubers from Orlando because they said there's no nightlife in Orlando. They make more money as Uber drivers in Tampa. If you want to dispute that with them, be my guest, Sam. Otherwise, move on. Good day, sir. All right, we'll come back with, and we'll get into some football here. We'll talk about the quarterback position. We also want to talk, I guess we can talk a little bit about the Peyton Manning situation, which is seemingly very, very interesting. It was a case where it seems that the crime was not nearly as bad of, you know, the crime was not nearly as bad as the cover-up, which sounds like it could be extensive, and that'll be a very interesting thing to do. This guy's yelling at me that $10 billion in renovations have been completed in Orlando over the course of 2 to 3 years. I love Orlando. I was just down at Disney. Phenomenal time. Great city. That's awesome. I'm just telling you the two guys want to come drive Uber in Tampa over Orlando. I'm sorry that that is causing such a heartache for you at 119 on President's
Day. Just a reminder, we are in Cleveland.
Right, who cares?
The show is about the Browns in Cleveland.
We do care about the Cleveland Browns.
Kind of.
Yes, kind of. Fully. Are you in, Gibbs? Come on. What, do you have to see it?
Of course.
All right, good. Sarcastic. All right, when we come, we'll talk quarterbacks. We'll talk everything here about the Cleveland Browns. 216-578-0850. Call us up. Zagur and Wilhelm back on CBD.
Open up the champagne. Pop. It's my house. Come on. Turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. Because we've done this before, so you come on in. Make yourself at my home, tell me where you been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this.
Now back to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back. There it is. By the way, Gibbs, I don't know, did you see, did they conclude you on the tweet where one of the listeners of the show...
We did retweet it this morning. I saw it. The young man.
The young man with the hello there.
It was very cool. Hold on.
Jason Monsman shared that with us from his child. Listen to the podcast, and I hear this from behind me. And he's got a video of his little kid saying hello there. Right. What do you think of that, Wilhelm?
Yeah, I don't know whether it's growing on me or growing out of me.
Here.
I hope it's not growing out of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This kid's got a future.
Oh, yeah.
Wilhelm's like, how quickly before I'm on a boat?
Wilhelm.
Not necessarily. I'm not.
He's going to be on a boat in a couple weeks.
A couple days, man.
A couple days.
Six.
When do you leave?
Saturday. Yeah.
That'll be your second cruise of the year.
No, it won't.
Oh,
first.
No. Second cruise in 3 months.
Correct. This is correct. Yes.
Yeah, that was the end of 2015. I forgot.
It was.
I forgot it was during the season.
Yes.
My mistake.
The glue gets tired every once in a while. You know what I mean? Got to take a break.
You've got to.
Did you guys watch any of All-Star Saturday Night?
So
I went back and watched the skills session, and then I watched the three-point competition. So beer and Gibbs, I owe you 3 beers, correct?
Yes, sir.
You took Klay Thompson, Gibbs?
I gave him the field, and I took Steph.
Oh, that was a good bet.
It was a good bet.
You.
I missed it by what? A bucket?
Yeah.
2 buckets.
Well, no. He went 2 for 3.
He beat him 27-23 in the final.
Was it?
Yeah. Listen, Steph almost got eliminated in the first round. He needed to go back-to-back. He needed to go 2 for 2 from the corner with the clock winding down on his money balls in the very first round just to get in.
Yeah.
And he did.
But to me, was it me or was like – there was some exceptional shooting this year because I don't ever remember all but one guy not having 20.
It's also, too, I don't know how many years it's been that they've changed the scoring, but it used to be there used to be only one money ball a rack before they added this whole rack of money balls.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, that, you're right. Yes,
that
it does.
Changes it. It used to be out of.
Used to be 5 money balls.
Yeah, it used to be out of 30 points. You could get a maximum of 6 per rack, and now you can get 6 per rack for 4 racks, which is 24, and then 10. So it's now out of 34.
Got you.
So they increase.
So
the,
yeah. So the 20 possible. Feels more. It's more like 16.
Yeah, that makes the back when they were looking at the highest scores ever. I think it was Craig Hodges had 24 or 25, like way back in the day, which when you think about it, 24, 25 out of 30 possible points is pretty darn impressive.
Yeah, it's like three misses.
Yeah. Well,
did either one of you guys get a chance to watch the dunk contest?
Yeah,
I have
Aaron
not
Gordon
yet.
Not winning is a joke. That one where he went below both of his legs.
Oh, my God.
Is the one of, probably the best dunk I've ever seen.
It might be. We just had a giant conversation in the break room before before the show today. Me and Emmett Golden and a few other people, Tony Cartagena. And Emmett says it's the greatest dunk competition he's ever seen. And maybe the best dunk competition ever. I'm like,
it's hard to go back to like those Jordan.
Well, that's what he said. He goes, those three guys were better than anything Jordan or Dominique could have ever done. I'm like, whoa, no, you're not even close.
No one's still gone from the free throw line the way Jordan went from the free throw line ever, ever. No,
nobody's ever what?
Gone from the free throw line the way Jordan went from the free throw line.
Like where he cocked it back.
Meaning
and
like,
and everything.
You know, he's technically three inches over the line. Right. And just cocks it back and whatever. No one has the grace from the free throw line like Jordan had with the ease, I thought. There's guys that have done it, but it's like long and barely goes in with no swagger just to like say, hey, I did it.
Well, I mean, people have done it a lot. Like Brent Berry even did it, but nobody had the style that looked the way that Jordan did it. But I'll tell you what, when you look at this picture of Aaron Gordon sitting in a chair over the top of this mascot with the ball going under his legs, I don't think I've ever seen anything like that, my friend.
Yeah, I haven't even watched it yet.
You haven't seen that dunk?
No.
Okay, so he's got the Orlando Magic mascot is standing like at about. He's on the, you know, that little arc, the little arc.
Yeah, the charge arc.
Yeah, he's on like the 45 degree of the charge arc on the right side of the floor. Gordon comes and he's holding the ball at the top of his head. Gordon runs up, jumps off of both feet, takes the ball, puts his legs like straight out. So he's like flying through the air in a pike position almost. Like he's making a 90 degree angle basically with his body and his legs. Puts the ball under both legs that are straight out, and then dunks it left-handed.
All right, I'll find it and watch it.
Oh yeah, that's not it will not be hard to find. And then what Levine did that was the winner was he jumped from
about
what?
Is that the one from the one from the corner?
No, Levine did one that was what, like a foot, 2 feet inside the free throw line.
Yep,
2 feet inside the free throw line, but did the East Bay Funk Isaiah Ryder through his legs and dunked it.
Ooh,
it was.
Yeah, but it wasn't like that Gordon
one. I think they ran out of things to do, to be honest. I think that they were running out of dunks, and so I think the judges just gave them like a 47. They gave Gordon a 47 just to give wiggle room for Levine to try to beat him to end it. I think they were running up against the clock, and it was awesome. I mean, it was one of the better dunk contests that I've seen in my lifetime. I'm not going to say it's better than Jordan or any of that stuff.
And Aaron Gordon's he's an Arizona kid, right?
He had to go to the U of A 1 year. He's from the Bay Area originally. Like, you can pull this up right now. You should pull this up. I want a live reaction
right
to this dunk on the air.
I'm watching it right. I'm watching I have just the two of them, Levine and Aaron Gordon. Was there even anybody else worth a you know what?
No, just watch the Gordon one. That's the one.
The one behind, that he did the, where behind the guy the was back under the rim by Levine was sick.
Correct.
Yes, that was good. All right, let's take Cabbage and Parma while you get this dunk queued up, and then I want to hear your reaction.
Wait, he just took it off his head, right? With the mascot standing up?
Yeah, you ready?
I'm watching it. Oh, let me go back. I watched it. It went real fast.
We have Cabbage on.
Go ahead, take Cabbage. What's up, Cabbage?
Hey, what's up?
Good, man.
What's up, man?
Hey, the reason why they don't have Uber or whatever in Orlando, Walt Disney's got a lockdown on that. They have like cabbies and that won't allow Uber into Orlando. So that's maybe why those guys came from Orlando to Tampa to drive you guys around.
I like it. I like the information about it. It was
actually that it was in St. Louis. When we were in St. Louis, downtown didn't have Uber, but outside the suburbs, they were allowed to have Uber. But there
the cabbies hated, obviously.
The cabbies were, there was a big lawsuit going on between the cabbies and
if
Uber.
And just on that same topic, when we flew down into Miami to go off for the Disney cruise, Miami, you can't take an Uber, or if an Uber is essentially caught in Dade County, there's up to like a $2,000 fine for that Uber driver because, you know, there's a tax on taxis that the city takes, you know, for all taxi companies, the buses, bus lines, so on and so forth. And when an Uber driver obviously comes in to pick up or drop off, they're not paying that tax for that service. So the city's essentially missing out on money, because we had an Uber driver take us from the Fort Lauderdale area down to Miami to go out for the cruise. And the Uber driver's like, we're like 2 minutes away from the port down there in Fort Lauderdale or in Miami. And he's like shuffling in his car, and he was like freaking me out. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he peels off his Uber sticker, and he takes like the placard, you know, off of his console, because he can't get caught with like the, you know, being an Uber driver in Dade County, or else he can get fined. So it's like, and I mean, no Uber driver wants to, you know, pay a $2,000 fine.
Yeah. It's some average Joe like you and me driving a car.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how Uber ultimately ends up here, because it's awesome. I love it. It's great. It's clean. You get people that you can actually have a conversation with if you want to. They're going to get you where you need to go. I never had a problem, you know, how are they going to be taxed? That's going to be the question, because the government needs their money.
Are you talking about the one on the hoverboard, Nathan?
No.
Okay, because I thought the one on the hoverboard, I think, is better than the first one.
You think it's better than the one where he jumps up like he's sitting in a chair?
Yeah, over his head.
Wow.
Wait, did he use the mascot 3 times?
I don't know. I think twice.
Okay.
At least twice.
I've seen the two. Anyway.
All right.
I mean, both these guys are impressive. And they're what? What's Levine? What year is it for him? Because it's Gordon's.
He's won 2 years in a row.
Okay.
By the way, the little guy's name is Maddox Monsman, who gave us the hello there.
He did use. Okay, here's the. I just watched that, the seat one. That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
There were some phenomenal. It was a phenomenal night.
And it's Gordon good. Didn't win?
No.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a
what?
Joke.
They gave Gordon a 47.
What?
How is that not a 50? That's
what I don't know. What I still don't understand about this dunk contest is, okay, Mutombo, Shaq, Hall of Famers, great at their position. The two-hand monster dunk was about as creative as those two guys can get with dunking a basketball. So they have no idea what creativity or body contortion is to get A, the ball in the hoop, but B, to contort your body to be able to do some of these things these guys are doing. So I think that, to me, is outlandish.
Outlandish.
I just thought it was a great night, because the All-Star game bores me because they don't really play any defense. And the first team to 200, I don't really care. I don't care about that. But Saturday night.
Russ is nasty, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Saturday, what did Russ go for?
He won the MVP again.
No, I know that, but what did he go for? Because I know Paul George, obviously on a losing team, had 41.
Let's see. In Russ We Trust had 31, 5, and 8.
Okay. I like Russ a lot.
I mean, it's a fun game, but that Saturday night is so much better when you get the stars of the game.
And Nathan, to your point, yeah, as you centering around the Pro Bowl, what would be the football version of Saturday night? You know, and how amazing would that be? Because what I think also it does is it takes the helmet off the players. I think for guys like Gordon and Levine, you know, if you don't live in Orlando or live in Minnesota, you don't even know who these guys are. And all of a sudden they're winning the dunk contest or doing these crazy things. You're going to remember them for a very long time and follow their career simply because of the dunks that they just did. They might average 5 points a game, but you're going to know them when they come to town. You're going to go, that's the guy that did the dunk off the mascot's head. And they become recognizable. And I think that for a lot of these football players, and I know the J.J. Watts of the world and the Peyton Manning and the Tom Brady and so on and so forth, they're all well known. But from some of these, like a Khalil Mack, if you saw Khalil Mack in a lineup, you know, with a bunch of people, would you be able to pick him out that he was, you know, all pro at two positions and a Pro Bowler and the fifth overall draft pick in 2014? Would you be able to pick him out? But if you saw him showcased in t-shirt and shorts, a la the combine, doing these like fun, you know, football centric things prior to the Pro Bowl or in replacing the Pro Bowl, you now have an eye for that guy in not only in commercials, but also, you know, a reason to watch the Raiders because of how impressive a guy like he is.
Absolutely. I think you make a very good point. All right, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, 216-578-0850, we'll get hopefully into a little bit of the Cleveland Browns here on Cleveland Browns Daily. Zagura, Wilhelm, and Gibbs on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Matt Wilhelm and Nathan Zagura and Gibbs. Yes, indeed. 216-578-0850 really shows driven by all of you. Call us up. We can talk Browns, talk some football. Now, Gibbs, I know you had talked about if you'd seen people. Oh, no. We know what that means. It's not Bret Hart. It's Cam from Canada. What's up, Cam?
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, doing good. Ironically, I'm in Victoria, British Columbia right now on Vancouver Island, the home of one Nelly Furtado.
That was the worst Oh Canada I've ever heard, ever.
What do you mean?
You know,
Oh Canada's a fine song. And Nelly, I like Nelly Furtado.
No, did you hear Nelly Furtado sing it?
No, I didn't hear it.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
At the All-Star game
yes.
last night? Oh,
Cam,
she was terrible?
Cam, was it good?
Okay, this is all I'm going to say. I was unfortunate enough to come across a moose in the wild at one point in time on a hunting trip that was giving birth, and that sounded more harmonious
yes.
than Nelly's version. Nathan,
this coming from a guy from Canada, Nathan.
Man, it was that bad, huh?
Horrible.
Nathan, it was a disgrace, and I want to say this, too, just so people know. Nelly Furtado is not highly regarded in this neck of the woods nor in Canada, and I just have a really difficult time understanding why we put her up there to sing it, but hopefully Toronto showcased ourselves. I think we showcased ourselves well, and I think it was a pretty good weekend, but but that was a very disappointing rendition, especially for a guy like me who's so closely linked to the song.
Absolutely,
wow.
Cam. Thanks for the call.
I'm gonna have to seek this out.
Gibbs, right. Gibbs will find it. You
here,
have it, Gibbs?
I have parts of it. Compliments of our good friend Matt Fontana. So here's part one.
Okay.
Victoria, British Columbia native and Grammy Award winning artist Nelly Furtado.
Oh, Canada.
That's the start of it. Hold on. Here's part two.
Oh, Canada, we stand on God for thee.
I have a look on my face right now that's like I just smelled an awful fart.
I agree. Like I have like a my dad used to always call it like a it sandwich. I won't say the sh sandwich. You know what I mean? Like when you eat it, I have that ugh face right now, and I've heard it. Cause I listened to the Really Big Show when they played it, you know, in their sound check segment, and I was just like, my goodness. And that's because it's actually something I like about the NBA with the fact that you have the international representation in Canada. And at first, when the Raptors were added, I'm like, man, this is our game. And now you got every stadium arena has to do the O Canada, or every All-Star game, so on and so forth. And I didn't like it at first, but it grew on me. And it's a song that I know now from watching so much NBA basketball and all these All-Star games. And for her to like with the flutist or whatever that is, it's just the rendition was horrible.
Yeah, that was
brutal. And I like Nelly Furtado.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, yeah.
I'm a big
fan. You like Nelly Furtado. You like the Oh Canada. Her rendition was the worst.
Yeah.
And for Cam to even say that she's not, very well appreciated, as talented as she is in that area, and for her to do that, that's not going to go down. That's not going to go anytime soon.
Yeah, that's your home country. Your home country is hosting that game. Like, you've got to find the best singer that you can find. If that means that's the – if that's, the, whoever does your anthem on a nightly basis for the Raptors. That should be the person that does it.
Have Drake do it, for God's sakes. He's Canadian as well. You know, have his rendition at least be a little bit more
Drake
traditional.
This weekend. Too much Drake.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. He's the only other Canadian artist.
I feel like I could have done close to that, and I'm a horrible singer.
I've sung that anthem. It's tough, but it's not that difficult.
Not that tough.
No.
Feel professional.
Heck no. Little practice. Heck. That was brutal.
That was brutal. Speaking of brutal, I don't know, Gibbs, you talked about this, the D'Angelo Williams termination paper from the Panthers. Have you seen this, Wilhelm?
I have one from the Chargers, and I also have one from the San Francisco 49ers with my own name on it.
All right, so you have one from the Chargers. I don't know how yours was worded, but here's how D'Angelo Williams's was worded.
Wait. I mean, that's a standard document.
Really?
Yes.
It's posted on Twitter.
That is an NFLPA, NFL-approved, team-approved standard letter that all of them, his name is typed in or written in, and you have one of four boxes to check. That's it.
Well, this one has five, and it says the team. You're exactly right. So here's what it says. This is the reason is he has been terminated for the reasons checked below. He did not get a check here. You have failed to establish or maintain your excellent physical condition to the satisfaction of the club physician. He was good there. You have failed to make a full and complete disclosure of your physical and mental condition during a physical examination. Nope, he was fine there. You have engaged in personal conduct which, in the reasonable judgment of the club, adversely affects or reflects on the club. Nope, he was fine there. I know somebody who's going to get that check, though. In the club's opinion, you are anticipated to make less of a contribution to the club's ability to compete on the playing field than another player or players whom the club intends to sign or attempt to sign or already on the roster of the club and for whom the club needs room. He didn't get that one checked. That's a reasonable one. That's a saying, like, look, we think that we can do a better, you know, cost analysis for you. This is the one that D'Angelo Williams got. In the judgment of the club, your skill or performance has been unsatisfactory as compared with that of other players competing for positions on the club's roster. That's what he got.
Yeah.
That's harsh, man.
That's pretty informal.
Very honest with you, and you'd have to ask a general manager, but this is my presumption, is that whoever has that pen or document and X's that, they don't put a whole heck of a lot really into which one, because they're so rigid, you know, with only five and there's no explanation. You would think that a team would be able to put a sentence or two that is customized to that player, especially for D'Angelo Williams, who served as, you know, at that point, his entire career in Carolina and was, you know, a part of the growing and building process as a new franchise for what, 6-7 years prior to moving on, that you could put a little bit more than just an X in a box. But I don't think there's a whole lot of thought and time put into it. Like, general manager just sits down and goes X and passes it on to the secretary, mails it out, or puts it down in the locker, whatever they do with that letter.
So I would imagine that you get that, like, that's the conversation that comes after. Do you remember what was checked for you? I feel like you just should check that one that says, you know, there might be somebody who can do what you do for cheaper.
Wilhelm,
like,
you had a 49er one. What was your other one?
Chargers.
It was the Chargers.
Yeah.
So there's a team that you'd played for your entire career.
Yeah.
A city that you've only known in terms of NFL. And you get that. Did you get it mailed?
I think so. I obviously had to get one from the Chargers and one from the 49ers. I only recall the one that I got from the 49ers, though. And actually, if I really looked hard, either, you know, in that, and you guys are both in my basement, where those, like, all those footballs are at, down in the bottom, there's, like, you know, like, little drawers and stuff, and there's just tons of paperwork and binders and, you know, playbooks and stuff. I bet you I could find that letter.
Interesting. It is a little, it just seems like, especially for a guy like D'Angelo, it just seems harsh. Like, just be like, look, man, you're really good and you're getting paid a lot of money, and we think there's a guy that could be cheaper, could do something approximate to what you do. Not like that one, when they said, we think you suck.
Well, yeah, essentially. I mean, and why do you even...
You don't need to say that, though. I feel like that's not necessary.
Right. I agree.
I don't think you even need to give a reason. Be like, look, we're moving up.
Sure.
See, I think you got to give a reason.
Well, when you talk to them, you do. But I'm saying on a piece of paper.
You don't, yeah.
Of course you're going to talk to them. You're going to, like, run right in there.
Maybe you're not going to talk to them. Maybe this is what you get.
All I know is,
don't call us.
I'll walk you through. Here's the release process for Matt Wilhelm. So it was the off season. It was like June. I want to say it was June or early July. So we're probably 3 weeks away from training camp, right?
Okay.
And It was the middle of the day. I remember where, like, my wife was not home. I was in my, like, in my master bathroom, and I got a call from the San Diego Chargers facility, and I missed the call. So I call them back, and I talk to the secretary, or I listen to the voicemail, I listen to the secretary, and then they're like, oh, Coach Norv wants to meet with you. And I'm like,
Norval.
So I said, so I'm not one of those guys that, like, I'm not going to go, oh, okay, and just drive in there. I go, is Norv available right now? And she goes, yeah, he is. And I go, okay.
Put him on.
And I put him on the line right now. I go, because I was like, don't waste my time driving down there. And this is why I love Norv Turner, the offensive coordinator, not so in love with Norv Turner, the man, because I legitimately asked him, is everything okay? Yes. I was like, so I'm good. Yeah, just come on in. We'll talk it all out. We'll talk it out. I was like, I'm not getting cut or anything, am I? No. Okay, awesome. Hang up the phone. Call my wife. She freaks out like I freak out from that phone call. But then I let her know, hey, I'm a grown man. I had a grown man conversation and asked the questions that you would ask me. Are you okay? Are you going to get cut? What do you think it's about? That's all the questions that I asked our, you know, the head coach of the team. I walk in, I go up there, I walk into his office, I sit down in his office. I'm nerved up. That's probably the most nervous I've ever been in my life, you know, because I'm going into year three of a big second contract. I think my number was like $3 million for that season. You know, who doesn't want to make that $3 million and live in a city of San Diego, right?
I do.
And he goes, you know, Matt, he's like, we're going to release you. And I went, you mother. And I'm sorry, Gibbs, you don't have to use the dumb button. But I just like, literally was just like.
Were you like, why didn't you just tell me? Like, I asked you if you're going to come.
I didn't go off,
no.
But the conversation lasted no more than 2 minutes. And I didn't like storm off like, you know, some imbecile. I just was like, all right, yep, okay, cool, all right, bye. And I walk out, and I swear, I walked down to my locker, which is like, you have personal belongings in your locker. I grabbed a trash bag. And I threw in everything that I thought I would need that was like personal items. I left all my charger crap, all my shoes, all my cleats, all that kind of stuff just hanging there in my locker, threw a trash bag over my shoulder, and walked out and never walked back in.
Jeez.
Because
it's rough, man.
Yeah, because the way Norv did it to me, it's like, you know, and even still, I mean, I have an amazing relationship with John Pagano, who's still there, you know, as a defense coordinator. All the equipment guys, the training staff is still the same. The video guys, that's why, you know, this year when San Diego comes here, it's going to be awesome to see all those guys. They're all still there. You know, the Spanos family. Playing in one place for 6 years is a blessing to begin with. So I don't want to take that for granted by any means. But, like, I was just, for me to try to set myself up mentally and emotionally for being released, to just know there and go, hey, you know what, 6 years in one place, that's great. Just shoot me straight, Norv. What is it? Because then I'd go down there and have a conversation and know what's expecting. But for him to tell me no and then say and then cut me, I was like, oh, man. And them to do it that late in the game, so I had to catch on with somewhere else and all that kind of stuff. But whatever. You don't need my sob story.
Plus, I mean, listen, it just shows just kind of the nature of the business when it gets brutal like that. And that D'Angelo Williams letter, obviously he uses that as motivation, and not surprising why. It definitely is a little – it's brutal. It's very tough. But you would think that when you ask him point blank that he should tell you.
I know. That was the hardest thing for me.
Did you call him out?
I did not.
I'd have been like, I asked you on the phone.
I didn't want to drive in here just to get told I was going to get cut, so I asked you to tell me, and you didn't tell me.
Right.
I wouldn't.
In the moment, you know, when it all happened,
you just wanted to get out.
It was the last place I wanted to be was A, yeah, in his office in front of him, and then B, in that building.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like did exactly what I had to do to get out of there as fast as possible, and I got out.
Yeah. I hear you, man.
That's crazy.
Day you'll never forget.
No, I can imagine. Because all of a sudden, now you're thinking, now what do I – like you said, I've been there for 6 years. Where do I go now?
Yeah, well, first of all, you just lost your job, okay?
Right.
And at that point in your career, you know, obviously I played two more after that at two different places. That just goes to show, you know, when you finally move on from where it starts – The business side of the NFL kicks in. That's where guys go, you know, I played my first four here, and then I went from Jacksonville to Cleveland to New York for a year, and went to training camp with so-and-so, got cut there, ended up with the Bears for two seasons, then I'm done. Boom, I played 8 years, 9 years, whatever it is. That just goes to show how when you finally get cut and you're kind of out of that comfort zone with your first stop, if you've done diligence as I did in San Diego, how the business side of this game really takes over.
No question. And speaking of the business side, a lot of decisions to be made on the business side, the football side, everything as it relates to the quarterback position. We'll dive into that and want you to ponder and call us up with your thoughts on the Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics of the Day. What's your overall grade for the quarterback position on the field only in 2015? And who would you take a quarterback at number 2 in the draft or later? Or is there a free agent you want? Let us know. 216-578-0850. We'll get into the quarterbacks with Gibbs and Wilhelm and Nathan Zgura when we return on CBD.